So Spain's banks get $125 billion, something to tide them over in the middle of the Eurozone crisis. Spain, of course, in the middle of what we can only really call a depression if you look at the unemployment in Spain, which is the worst in the industrialized world. But as the details of this $125 billion bailout, call it what you will, sink in, markets having a different reaction. We wanted to get an impression of what's going on here from Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize-winning economist, professor at Columbia University. His new book, of course, is called The Price of Inequality, How Today's Divided Society Endangers Our Future. Joseph Stiglitz, is $125 billion going to do anything to help the banks of Spain in the long term?
In the long term, I don't think it is. But in the short term, it's going to help. The problem is the basic framework of Europe. If you're a Spanish depositor, you have money in a Spanish bank, you have a choice of easily moving your money into a German bank or into a bank in any other of the Euro countries. They're much safer. And the way the system has been working is backing the Spanish banks is the Spanish government. The Spanish government is having financial problems, and the Spanish government bonds have been bought by the Spanish banks. So it's a bootstrap operation that can't work. This is a loan. This is not a gift. And exposed to be a temporary reprieve to restore confidence. But if you look at the policies that the Spanish government and the European, the EU have been pursuing, there's no light at the end of this tunnel. So I'm not sure that the market will, after the impact of the initial $125 billion sink in, the market will say, well, how are we going to get out of this?
Well, you described actually very well the fact that the incentive structure for a Spanish depositor to basically pull their money out of Spanish banks because they don't necessarily believe they'll be paid in euros eventually, especially if the euro falls apart, and move it into a German bank where they believe that the deposits are much more secure. What would work here? Would it be more like a eurozone FDIC that would basically guarantee all depositors being paid in whatever euro accounts exist at the moment they want to withdraw?
That's right. Or more generally, you're going to need a European-wide banking system backed by all of the European governments, not just by country by country. The principle they've had is that each country should stand behind its own banks, but as the fiscal problems of each of the countries has mounted, that system is clearly not going to work, leading to rungs, or sometimes they're called jogs, slow withdrawal of money, weakening the banking system. But because the banking system is weak, it can't lend. That weakens the economy. That weakens the tax revenue. That weakens the government. They're in the course of a vicious downward spiral.
Would you say that Spain is essentially in a depression and is being asked to prop itself up with almost no resources?
I think I would describe it that way. You know, the unemployment rate now is approaching 25%, which is as bad as it was in the United States. The youth unemployment rate now exceeds 1 out of 2. And as I said, if this were a temporary problem where one could see, well, after 3 months or 6 months, we're going to get over this, that would be one thing. But I haven't seen anybody explain how they're going to get out of this mess. And the downturn has been going on since the global crisis began in 2008. So it's already into the fourth year.
So we're talking with Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize-winning economist. His latest book is The Price of Inequality, How Today's Divided Society Endangers Our Future. We've just been talking about his view that the Eurozone bailout announced for the Spanish banks, $125 billion, doesn't do anything to address the unsustainability of what's going on in Europe. You would also describe the inequality in the United States economy as an unsustainable phenomenon that doesn't have a good end game. Get into some detail here.
Well, what I think many Americans don't realize is that we have become the most unequal of all the advanced industrial countries, and we have become the country with the least equality of opportunity. And the problem is that when you have such a divided society, divided societies don't function well. interestingly, and not surprisingly, in the period in which we were less divided, we grew much faster, and that's a pattern you see around the world. So we're paying a high price for this inequality. Not only are the people at the bottom and middle suffering, the people in the middle today have lower income than they had a decade and a half ago, but our overall economy is not functioning well. And as I said, this is a pattern we've seen over and over again. Lower growth, more instability, a more divided society, more difficult to work together, and therefore more almost impossible to sustain that kind of prosperity that we had in the past.
All right, so the economic situation bridges directly into the political sphere. So the reason our political debate is so divided and the Tea Party is not speaking the same language as members of the Democratic Party and the candidates sound like they're coming from different planets relates to the fact that in an income in unequal state like we have in the United States right now, literally the different constituencies do see fundamentally different realities, and they can't get together.
That's right. Part of this, though, is because there's been an attempt to reframe the debate in ways that really are not consistent with what the evidence is. Let me just give you a couple examples. One of the views, you know, many people on the right say, yes, there's a lot of inequality, but if we were to do anything about that inequality, everybody would suffer, even the people at the bottom. Our growth would slow. It would be disaster. But you look more carefully at how inequality arises in the United States and what it does, not only here but elsewhere. What you see is it's just the opposite. If we reduced our inequality, we could actually grow more rapidly. Much of our inequality arises from what economists call rank seeking, monopoly, exploitive, predatory lending, abuse of credit card practices.
And all phenomena that tend to restrict the economy and lower levels of participation. Can we stand on just one example there, Joe?
That's right. Well, you got the point.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winning economist, professor at Columbia University. His book, The Price of Inequality, How Today's Divided Society Endangers Our Future. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.